Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
Hello, friends, and welcome to The Point, the home services podcast that focuses on marketing and operational solutions to help you get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Now, let's cut through the bullshit and get to the point.
What's up, To The Point listeners? It's your host, Chris Yano. To The Point Home Services Podcast. That is the name of the game. It sounds the same every single week. Along with me is my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul Redman. What is up, my friend?
Yano, it's good to see you again. By the time this airs, it will be just a little over a week since we were actually together. We spent a full week together working on our real job, our day job, which was great, man. It was good to spend some time with you. But I got to ask, from where I'm sitting right now, it looks like you have glitter on your forehead. What's going on?
You know, I do have glitter on my forehead. I was trying out this new eyeliner. Wait, see, I don't even know what it is because I don't know anything about it. I've got a five-year-old girl, okay? And when she gave daddy a hug, when I dropped off her kindergarten this morning, she got glitter on her backpack and she rubbed it on my face, okay? That's where the glitter came from. Did your daughter do that to you?
No.
Yeah,
she did not.
She must not love you as much as my daughter loves me then. So apparently that's where the glitter came from.
Hey, any opportunity there's low-hanging fruit to bust your chops, I'm in. But hey, man, I'm pumped for today. I know that it's early to call this, but there's no way we get today's guest covered in one segment. This is going to be a two-parter for sure.
Shit.
I'm calling it early.
Wow, that's impressive, man. Like, Travis, that's big expectations, dude.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. And that is honestly one of the better glitter excuses I've heard in a while. So congratulations to you, Chris.
Thank you. Well, let me get to this and I'm going to introduce our guest. Everybody knows who the hell we're talking to right now. And it's interesting story. And we've talked about this, is that we actually are like a mile apart. Like, I mean, I live in a little town north of Phoenix called Anthem. It's actually not technically a town, but it is to us. And so Anthem is where I live, Northern Arizona, and this guy and his brother started this badass company up there that has done a phenomenal job. I've always seen them as a well-respected business. I mean, they're in my backyard. They are my go-to heating and air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical company. So I want to introduce this guy real quick, but before I do it, I also want to say I want to just share a couple things. I think you can tell a lot about somebody's business just by straight up looking at their reviews. Now, that being said, there are some people who will go out and buy reviews, right? Like, it was an old school tactic. As I read through some of these reviews, it's legit. But I'm not reading through all of them because in Google, there's like almost 3,800 of them. Google reviews at 5 stars, man. Like, it don't get no better than that. So 5 stars, 3,795 reviews on Google, like 360-something on your Facebook page alone. I mean, you guys did TP Tuesdays, man. Was it TP Tuesday or TP Thursday or something like that?
TP Tuesday, yeah. We ended up with, when that shortage came, we saw that our industrial or janitorial supply had tons of toilet paper. My brother said, hey, let's order cases of it and just start handing it out.
Dude, this was awesome. So his brother, Tyler, it and him were literally standing outside of their shop handing out toilet paper. Actually, it was more like throwing it into the cars, right? Because you wanted to keep your distance. But I thought that was brilliant. And then I, and it was just another simple way to give back to the community that you guys have done quite a bit of. You're super involved in our community, very well respected. And again, it shows from the reviews because the reviews don't lie. But I thought TP Tuesdays was brilliant. I mean, I even referred it to some people saying, like, you should do this. That's what, you know, like, you guys did that. And that's where I got the idea from. And I shared it with them. I'm like, you want to do something creative in the community? This was pretty interesting because there's a shortage on TP. So I commend you guys. Now, listen. Now, you're from here?
Cave Creek.
So you went to Cactus Shadows.
Correct.
So you were a Falcon.
I'm a Falcon.
Okay. So Is your brother older or younger than you?
Older.
Okay. So what's the age difference between you guys?
16 months.
16 months. Okay. So who's smarter? You're
these like warm up questions, Chris?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
See if he's comfortable with the microphone.
I'm getting somewhere.
We have our different strengths.
Okay. Okay. So anyhow, Paul, I appreciate you interrupting me. I was going somewhere with it, but you ruined it. Anyhow, I want to introduce our guest real quick. His name is Travis Ringy. And he is the co-owner of Pro Skill Services in technically Phoenix, Arizona. So welcome to the show, my man.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I can't believe your brother didn't want to come on here. Or did you not give him the opportunity?
I didn't invite him.
So awesome. Well, our paths have crossed multiple times without ever knowing each other. So it's good to finally have you in here on the studio. This makes sense. Also, something pretty cool that just was announced, I think it was last week at Pantheon, was that you guys were awarded the Service Titan of the Year, right?
Yep. Huge honor.
That's where we hit the button with the cheering on it. I'm going to try it again. Hang on. Wait for it. So at Pantheon, you guys were awarded the Service Titan of the Year. Dude. Oh, yeah. We're legit. That's right. We're a legit podcast. We know what's up. Anyhow, congratulations on that, man. What exactly, what happened for you? What went down for you guys to get that award?
You know, we got on Service Titan in 2014. Prior to that, we had our own, little exchange server that we were trying to do calendar scheduling with, and just built on that since we got on. And we try to help Service Titan, and we believe in partnerships and helping each other. And so we've done quite a few webinars and stuff with Service Titan. And we had a part during Pantheon, and a lot of it revolves around our reviews and how we, our process to get reviews. And so I don't know the background of how it's, but it's a nomination, and they checked that against criteria, and we won.
So. Sure, cool. Yeah. So then are your peers part of the nomination process, or is it an internal Service Titan thing?
I believe it's internal.
Okay, cool. Well, dude, listen, how many Service Titan customers are there? There's quite a few. So that's a pretty cool award, man. So congratulations on that. It's pretty awesome. And it's cool for me because you're right in my backyard, dude.
Yeah, it's a huge honor.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I want to get into a little bit more about how you got into the industry, kind of where you guys are at today, because you built a pretty sweet little business up there. And, and you didn't start by doing everything. You started adding services. So let's go into that real quick. Just if you would give the listeners just the background, of the business, kind of how you got into it, and then where you guys are at today, and we'll start there. Cool?
Cool. Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. So my brother and I, 16 months apart, best friends growing up, always done stuff together since elementary school. We were selling kids.
Selling kids?
Well, no, that's weird. Sorry. That's not a good thing to say. No. Selling our classmates their, stuff out of the Oriental Trading magazine when we were in elementary school.
I remember that magazine, yeah.
Yeah, so we've always done stuff together, and my dad was a developer, always told us to go into the trade services, kind of lost everything in the Great Recession. And during that time, I actually had left the family business, went into the mortgage industry, and doing subprime loans. Yeah. The Big Short is basically about our bank. My brother ended up working in a home service company, a plumbing company. And when I was the contact for Fannie Mae there, and I got the letter that said, hey, we're shutting your program down. That was the only program we did. I put in my notice, was unemployed. My brother finally convinced me to come work with him. And my brother always says, never put two brothers in a truck together. Eventually got our license and started as, my brother and I in a truck as a residential plumbing company. At that time, a lot of people didn't want to come to our little hometown of Anthem. It was hard to get service providers. Sure. So we had a lot of customers saying, hey, can you provide air conditioning services? I said, yeah, no problem. How hard could it be? Well, it was a huge failure at first. Neither of us knew how to do air conditioning, and the people we hired didn't know how to do air conditioning either. I crash coursed in refrigeration, ended up taking that over, and I still oversee a lot of the sales in HVAC today. And then we added electrical about 2 years ago, and that's kind of where we're at. So we started first year, I think we did like a couple $100,000, definitely not the growth curve other companies these days are seeing. But we did, on average, we've grown about 32% since inception. Obviously, there's a lot bigger growth years, and some, you know, this year's at like 29%. But overall, this year our budget was about $18.5 million. We're trending towards about 20.2. So we're, you know, exceeding budget, and that's where we're at.
I'm crushing it, man. It's so cool.
And Phoenix is not an easy market for air conditioning. We're not talking some random suburb in the Midwest. No offense to anyone in the Midwest. I mean, Phoenix is kind of cutthroat. What are you doing, or what did you do early along to not just get swallowed up by all the big players?
Yeah. So my brother and I, the company we worked for, it was the two of us in a van before. So we never got preconceived notions on how the industry should work. And we really...
So you weren't jaded yet.
No, we did things our own way. So we launched, it was in the middle of the Great Recession, 2009. And we said, hey, let's just be, you know, golden rule, right? Let's just treat people how we want to be treated. And we rolled out no service charge, no diagnostic charge. Our idea was that, hey, we will provide you great service and we are at a price you'll like. And if you don't like it, then we'll leave. That's how confident we are in it. It worked great for a long time. We actually just got rid of that. We instituted a diagnostic charge, and then we got rid of the diagnostic charge and just went to a service charge, primarily because it worked so well. We got known for, hey, just call ProSkill. They'll come tell you what's wrong, and then you can fix it. So
wait, that's not a good business model?
Yeah, it's tough to make money at that. So we still have a relatively low service charge comparative to the industry, but it's there to negate some of that. But so that, you know, having our own ideas and transparency, you know, we're transparent with our vendors, we're transparent with our employees, and we're transparent with our customers. We didn't pave the way. People have done online sales for a long time. We took a little different avenue to it. We did online sales with, you know, not a foot in the door strategy, but with a full scope of work, what it's actually going to cost. And we use that for our sales platform, and people seem to enjoy that.
Yeah, you, I think whenever I was looking at the site too, and just from talking to you, is you guys have really leaned heavily on the, like, I'm your next door neighbor type of approach. Very, very customer service driven. And I know that's like, sometimes people say that and it's like, we're all about customer service, but they're not really about customer service. It's about a turn and burn type of style. Or, I mean, there's plenty of people that do give great customer service. I'm not saying that, but people's motives aren't the same, but they'll lean on customer service as the, but you guys legit, because I know, and I know of you, and I've been, and before I even knew you personally, I knew the company. It's true. And again, this is where the reviews don't lie. So, you and I were talking, I can't remember what it was, a couple of days ago, about something that I'm also passionate about, that you're super passionate about. And you started to talk about it just a second ago, but let's talk about partnerships and the importance of partnerships, because you can't do it all on your own. There are partnerships that come into this to hit exponential growth or big growth if you're on that, and like you guys are on a real good path for big growth. But partnerships are key, and I guess what I think that, and Paul and I have had this conversation before, is how you treat your partners absolutely matters in your growth plan and the success of your growth plan and the quickness of that growth plan, I believe, because you can be an asshole to some of your partners and lead by intimidation or kind of have that intimidation relationship, or you can be kind, you know, and work with them and be and have grace and really help with each other. And that's how I believe a partnership needs to be, is nobody's going to nail it every time, and you got to have a little bit of grace, but you have to have those partnerships. So in your opinion, like, what does that look like? You know, how do you grow with your partners? Like, how do you, and define what your partners are, because it's not just like a vendor relationship. There's multiple things, you know, that are part of this. So define that for us.
Sure. I think partnerships are imperative to our success. So I guess story time. My mom growing up had a little business called Hassle-Free Permit Service. And basically she would go pull permits for contractors. And contractors, you know, I'm a contractor, so I can say it, they're not always the nicest people. They're a little rough around the edges, especially when they don't understand something. So they would go down and they would not get any service. They would not get their permits. And then my mom, in turn, could go down and she would get her permits, priority service. And the reason was she was so good at it is that she was kind. My mom is she's a saint, the nicest person you'll ever meet. And she would bring them See's candy. She knew the process. She had a file ready to submit. And so I learned at a young age that it's important to, you know, if you want to get the end result that you desire, that you got to treat people by that golden rule. And so, you know, relationships are partnerships, and it's from your marketing agency, your vendors, your insurance broker, you know, everyone that's involved in your business. If you want to get great service, I mean, I know, you know, speaking from my own imperfection, that if I have a customer that every time we do service for them, they call and complain, I'm going to fix their complaint every time, because that's what customer service is. But if I have a customer who's treated us great for years and never complained, and then they have a complaint, I'm jumping on that one full steam, making it going above and beyond, because it's not normal for them. And that's the same relationship I think I have with a lot of my partners, is that if we have something come up, they jump to fix it. And I think it's because, you know, from, it's not just me, I deal with a lot of vendors and partners, but we train the team the same way. You know, we had an experience where one of our vendors actually called and said, "Hey, so-and-so was in here, one of our technicians, and they're being rude. And that's not what we have known from you guys. We thought you should know." So we realized, like, hey, we have to train our team how to treat our vendors and our partners as well.
Yeah, those relationships are key all the way across the board. That's what we're getting to, is it's, you know, with partnerships comes relationships, and relationships is key. And your relationships need to be with your vendors, need to be with your team, needs to be with your, like, you, even your manufacturers, which, like, you know, or your software partners, like you guys with Service Titan. But all of those things don't require them, but it's best if you have good working relationships with them, and it's not a me talking at you, demanding things. And listen, like, there's been plenty of successful people that go about it that way. It's just not how I roll, and I've come to believe that's not how you guys roll. But those relationships are key. And this is, like, we always talk about this. We've been, you know, for those who are listening for the first time, I'm the CEO of a company called Rhino Strategic Solutions, which is a digital marketing company for the trades, since 2008. So I've been in the game a long time in regards to trades. It's such a relational business. And I mean, it's, even though it's huge, it's small. I feel like almost everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. And how you treat people will get out to others. And you don't want to be known as a guy that's an asshole, and you grew your business that way. At least I don't want to be that. And that's not you guys, right? So you like follow this methodology where I think that I saw on your guys' site, you talk about booties. What was it about the booties that's on there? About how you wore the booties early on. But what was this? Do you remember seeing that on the site? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? There's something about, like, you guys wore booties. God, I don't remember what it was. I had something.
While you think of that, I'm going to ask a question. So I believe you are either the largest or one of the largest train dealers in the Southeast United States. Is that right?
We're the largest. We're one of the largest in the Southwest.
Southwest, sorry.
We're in Arizona, Paul.
My That's map is upside down.
Yeah, we're the largest. Like, strictly residential change out, for sure. We're the largest inverter dealer in the nation.
So I want to talk about inverters here in a moment, but I want to talk about your relationship with your vendor. What role did they play in your success to becoming one of the best?
Here we go.
So I'm partners with Train. Obviously, they're a fantastic partner to us, and it kind of goes back to the whole strategy, is that Train has been very accommodating to our needs. We are an outlying area in the marketing business. You guys know, you know, like, for example, GSA or Google Local Services.
LSA, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't work well for us. We don't have a ton of leads to capture, and we don't go to metropolitan Phoenix where all the leads are. So they've let us, you know, move those funds around to doing, you know, more SEO
work. Accommodating.
Yeah, they're accommodating to us. They're a great partner. They stand behind their warranties with us. I have no complaints. You know, that they're a great partner, and we got on with Train in 2014, and they've been paramount to our growth. I think the first year that we were in, that I took over air conditioning, we installed around 130 systems. I'd have to do the math again. The year before, we did like 7, and, you know, now we do a few thousand a year. So the idea is that it's a relationship, right? And we've had that benefit of them, but they've also had the benefit of us, you know, growing from a couple systems to, you know, one of their largest dealers in the Southwest.
So they invested, they invested into your success. And then as you grew, you guys kind of firmed up that commitment to each other, which then allows that relationship to flourish.
Absolutely.
And, you know, who was, when did you guys actually become a train comfort specialist?
Probably 2015 then.
Okay. So that wasn't too much. Okay. So that was pretty shortly after.
So we could talk about partnership forever, but I want to go back to something you mentioned early in this conversation, something that's intriguing me and actually something I'm passionate about and usually lose my mind about on the show. And that is pricing online. So you mentioned transparency for the consumers, but kind of glossed past the fact that a consumer can go on your site right now and get a quote for an almost fully configured system. There's obviously a lot of hot opinions around that. Tell me about why you did that and tell me about the impact on your business. And then third, as I've completely hijacked the show, tell me about the future in pricing and HVAC.
That's great, dude.
Yeah. So why did we do it? That's a great question. And I wish I had a great answer for you, but my brother and I, we like to try different things. It's something we had wanted to do for a while. And it's because we believe that everybody, you know, gets the same deal. And one of the things we learned as we started to get into air conditioning sales is that customers don't like when you're pencil whipping contracts and using your calculator at the kitchen table. It gives them an uncomfortable feeling. So we wanted to have a way to show transparency in that everybody pays the same price. Everybody gets the same deal, you know, and the price is the price. The way that we went about it differently, like I said, is that we didn't try to go in just super low price to get the lead, capture a lead, and then go in and upsell. The pricing on the website is for the full scope of work included, and that's the price. Customers always say, I'm surprised that that was actually the price. I mean, obviously, if they need duct modifications, things we can't see, those aren't included. But for the most part, they pay what's on the website. And our sales team uses that in the house. So they don't have a separate program to go in and say, okay, well, let me build this custom proposal. They go through the website, run them through the steps and say, hey, if you want to reference it, you can go back at any time. And they use that to narrow down, you know, good, better, best, figure out what the customer wants. And then they'll actually build the proposals in ServiceTitan. But what has it done for us? Well, I mean, we consistently are growing.
Right.
We're consistently known for high quality work and honesty, integrity, transparency. I think we got a lot of good buy-in from the community. They enjoyed it. And part of it was that when I started, or when my brother and I started, and even up until a few years ago, you know, we didn't really know how to price. We didn't know where the pricing was, and we weren't comfortable at that point calling our competitors and asking them because they didn't know who we were. But now, what one of the things that's lent itself to is actually, you know, rising that tide is that people are like, oh, that's what that's supposed to cost. Because, you know, looking back, I wish I priced for where I was going, not where I was at. And we've always had to steadily increase those. Well, now we have, you know, smaller competitors who are great guys, and they're saying, hey, I didn't realize that that's what it was going to cost me to do that as I grow.
Yeah.
And so that's been kind of a fringe benefit of it.
So I like that rising tide raises all ships mentality.
Absolutely. And you're not sending a traditional, I'm using air quotes for the listeners, a traditional comfort advisor out to spend 90 minutes in somebody's home. You're literally doing it over the phone, right?
We do sell some over the phone, but no matter what, we're going to be on site because we have a very thorough communication process to set our install team up for success. So they're still going to go out. They're still going to survey the home. They're still going to do a load calculation on site. We try to, you know, part of quality is doing the right things to ensure that that quality is delivered. So
I got a question.
But they have an idea of what it's going to cost before you get there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, and that's the missing link. Like, it's not unreasonable to expect someone to give you a price for how much their services cost before you get there. And I'll leave you with last point because I see Chris asking something. Here's the bad news about the model you're doing. You'll never know which customers you lost because they were turned off from the price, right? But here's the good side. It'll never matter. You're a $20 million company without it. Like, it's amazing. I'm all in on online sales.
So
drop mic.
Let me jump in on that real quick. Cause it is a concern, right? And I have to validate it somehow so I can sleep at night, but I just saved that time because if I didn't like it on the website, if they didn't like the reputation that they saw when I got out to the house, they weren't going to like it still. So at anything, it's just saving us time. It's qualifying leads. The leads that we get, while we might lose some, are high quality leads. If they click submit on that website, they're buying a unit from us. They've seen everything. They've seen the reputation. They've seen the quality. there's no reason that they wouldn't buy at that point.
I want to hang on this. I think this is, I didn't really think about this until you brought it up. So I'm glad you did, Paul. I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm glad you caught it to talk about. So I'm going to commend you, my friend, for bringing up a solid topic, because I'm actually pretty passionate about this piece of it. And it's because we're in the digital marketing space and conversions matter, right? So getting traffic to the website is one thing, but who gives a shit if they don't call you to do business, right? Or send a contact form to do business. That's our goal. I'm a fan of putting pricing on the site. And I mean, as long as it's reasonable pricing, right? Because at some point in time, you do have to really explain the reasoning for that cost if you're not just playing a price game, right? If you're not just trying to be like the lowest guy, you know, which is a pretty common thing people do when you first start because you're just trying to get in and do things. But I like putting price on the site because I believe it actually gives a better return than not putting it on there, because people are going to ask that question. That is going to come up. And why I feel so passionate about it is, you know, for those who, and we have a lot of rhinos that listen to this call, and like you and I were talking about, you know, we have a team here, and their only job is to listen to every single phone call that comes through our customer sites, every single one from start to finish. And what happens is you see so many missed opportunities because they're not willing to give a price, even a ballpark on a, you know, an installation or whatever it is. And so it's just not an option. So why not at least give an option so mm-hmm. you had the chance at getting them as a customer versus just saying, nope, you have to come out there to give a ballpark figure. That just has never made sense to me.
I'm totally with you. part of when people call and ask, you know, hey, I need this so-and-so price, you know, we're going to try to qualify the lead, get a comfort advisor in front of them. Obviously, we want to capture that lead, get out in person. We can still sell better in person.
Of course.
But, you know, a lot of people, especially with COVID, just don't want you there. And so the ability to say, hey, listen, we can, all of our pricing's online. You can go through, it's going to ask you, you know, four or five different questions. You can get a options sheet of the different systems available. Or if you would like, one of our comfort advisors can just do a Zoom or phone conference call with you, and they'll run you through the website. They'll explain it all to you. And when COVID first started, that's the only way we presented, is we would do a no contact right from you service visit where they would open the door. We'd do our survey. We'd do our load calculation offsite, and then we'd set up a Zoom call that afternoon. So we ran calls in the morning and then ran Zoom calls in the afternoon, and it was very successful.
Yeah, so I love that because, and what's cool about it is like COVID's really kind of changed the game a little bit, and Paul and I were just talking about this yesterday too. Is it's, you know, we're usually by this time have put in 300,000 flight miles, you know, flying all over the place, but this year we've actually been more efficient and been doing it all over, you know, online, which has been fantastic. And I would arguably say that our staff has become more efficient, you know, and even working remote. But you did utilize the no contact service call badge that we implemented early. And again, it's because we pay attention to these calls. And as soon as you hear it, you just have to assume that when they get to your site, like, I like the fact that you put the cost because people are going to ask that question. That doesn't mean it's what you have to sell them. Mm-hmm. It's get them to call. And then you could, if you want to upsell, because they may not know what they need. At least they have what they're looking for, a cost. They know like an idea what it's going to be. If they bought that unit, then it's on your sales guys to make the upsell if that's the right fit. But I like the fact that you've really, you had to adapt to this. Everybody had to adapt to this change. And now I think it's completely okay to be doing online calls. I mean, Paul, have you been hearing the same thing? Like, this has kind of become the norm, you know?
It is. It is the norm. And I want to go back to a moment. Did I just cut you off, Chris? Did you want to say something, Princess?
Cut me off. What I wanted to say, and you just railroaded the shit out of me right now. That's not like you, Paul. That's not like you. Did you take Alpha Brain this morning? Because I did. I'm feeling it. Damn it, I don't even know what the hell I was going to say. See, you ruined it for me. Anyway, whatever. Go ahead. Ask your stupid question.
What did Train get any feedback or any other Train dealers complain when you were putting pricing online?
So interestingly, I had a very close relationship with Train, and it was a model that they actually wanted to test. They tried to test on their own website, and it was a dismal failure because they did it.
It was terrible
nationwide. It's like, you know, contractors don't even pay the same for equipment nationwide. You know, certain areas get far less expensive equipment for whatever reason. Sure. So, it didn't work well for them, and they couldn't put it, everyone's scope of work is totally different. So that was a dismal failure, but they wanted to see if it would work for contractors. The problem with a lot of terrain dealers is that they're typically premier contractors and they're scared to put that price out there. So Train actually allowed us to use our co-op to develop it. And so they were a partner [S2] Nice. [S1] In the website, you know. So they did get feedback. You know, their thing was you can't have online sales if you're not installing it. As long as you're installing it, you're the installing dealer, you're in the clear. And no, I get questions from train dealers all the time. If, you know, they can, you know, get information on it, get feedback. You know, one of the dealers, took the whole platform and plagiarized it. So,
no.
Yeah. So
it doesn't happen.
Do you think that any of the non-installing like tech companies, like buy an air conditioner from me.com or whatever, that are now trying to sub out to people, do you think those will ever take off?
I think there's got to be a level of trust built, and I don't. There's always a concern in our industry of, you know, Tesla, Google, Amazon's going to come in and take over the industry, and, you know, Uberize it. But Uber took on a person who, you know, was maybe underemployed or unemployed. They had free time on the weekends, at times when people needed the rides. And they're largely unskilled jobs. I mean, as long as you have a license, that's fine. Our industry already has a labor shortage. And so if you think you're going to find technicians who have to be licensed to go do this work on the side, to work on the side after they've already put in 60 hours, they need the people, first of all. And you're at the end of the day installing unfinished goods, and the finish is what determines the longevity of the product. And I'm not saying they can't. I think it's going to be a lot more challenging than taking over the retail spaces or the taxi services, the unskilled labor jobs.
Yeah. Here's my two cents on that. I've gotten that question and even had people reaching out to me to build it many times. Contractors wanted to build out that model. The only way I see it working today is if you had a large company with a phenomenal brand and it was yourself. It was like, you're not trying to take over the entire nation, but like for your market, you could buy online, you know, buy a system online, good, better, best, here you go. And then they do the installation. But like we have people here in this market that have created their own, you know, site, you know, probably know who they are. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know that I'm completely bought into it yet, but show me the data, prove me wrong. I think this is if you're creating its own standalone brand. But I see, like, potential with it for sure. I mean, like, I can see it. I just don't know how far off it is. And you brought up, like, the Tesla, Google, Amazon thing. And it's something that, you know, you're going to be attending our first RhinoX Service Summit in October with our partner, Gary Vee. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a topic we're going to talk about. Is this, what is it, you know, because everybody's like, Tesla, Google, Amazon. You're right, man. Like, labor's going to win the game. But there's still a labor shortage. Like, is that going to change in the next 2 years? It's been fucking 12 years, and it's never changed since I've been involved in this. It's the same thing that's been happening over and over. Now, that being said, I really do hope and think that with COVID exposing us as an essential business, I say us because we're in the same business, I do believe that we will start to see a shift. And so, like, we have the schools here, which is cool, mm-hmm. and I try to check in to see, like, what is participation looking like? Like, what's enrollment looking like to see if there's an increase? And so it looks like there's like some really good buzz around it. And you know what had to happen was COVID had to happen to expose, like, hey, guess what? Who gives a shit about your degree, man? You weren't working and my guys are out because you don't want your house to be hot and stinky. Like, you got to have plumbers and HVAC guys in there.
Listen, our industry, you got contractors selling AC units that they don't want to install, right? You got contractors who want people that they don't want to train, though. Our industry as a whole has to buy into training these young guys. They're not going to come truck ready out of school. Mm-mm. So one of our main focuses for the last few years has been to bring in these guys right out of school. But we've got guys out of diesel mechanic school. As long as they're mechanically inclined, they can learn the trades and invest in those guys. And everyone can only steal each other's employees so much. Sure. At some point, we got to invest into the future of our businesses. Yep. And so the trade schools are, I mean, you got one literally across the street,
right?
They have an adult program over there at Westmec now that I've got two guys out of that have turned into phenomenal technicians, but they need to get a chance because if we all just say, well, we need more people, and then these kids come out of school and we're like, well, we need 5 years experience too, then we're going to continue down the same road of it. There's a labor shortage.
Yep. But part of this too, isn't you just, you know, and I see this over and over again, like Indeed isn't your answer, guys. Like, guess what? Check Indeed for technicians and look how many listings are on there. Like here in Phoenix, it's like 500,000. It's some stupid number. And everybody offers a sign-on bonus. It's got to be more than that. But you have to invest in these people. I'm not saying you don't give a sign-on bonus. Obviously, you would know better than me, but I've seen it all. You know, because for us, a lot of times, it's we have to pause internet marketing campaigns, lead generation campaigns, because there's not enough staff to keep up with volume. It's a pain in the ass. So, but you mentioned, like, Westmec is right across from our headquarters here. And, you know, and community is key. And so we have a lot of listeners, too, that, you know, maybe just like you and your brother stepped out and kind of did your own thing or you know, started small. They're always looking for ways to do things that might just be sweat equity, right? Where you don't have the money to put into it yet because all you're trying to do is sell your way to keep your head above water. So community is key. And you guys have done an exceptional job in our community of making yourself the preferred company, but it's also based on, you know, your reputation and your views. So in your opinion, what are some key things that you guys did in the community that really kind of put you guys in, you know, in the forefront whenever somebody's, you know, like somebody says something goes wrong in Anthem, we're like, hey, man, Pro Skills. You look in the Facebook groups, everybody says Pro Skills. And there's like maybe one or two, you know, one-offs, but everybody says your name over and over again. And you know how it is, because if it takes one pissed off person to blow that whole thing up. So you guys have done a good job of it. So maybe share some examples to the listeners of what they could do.
Yeah, I think community, so we're running, you know, 50, 55 trucks in a very small service area. So getting that community buy-in is really important for us for the longevity of the company. Right. And so early on, we were, you know, before Facebook groups and Nextdoor were a thing, we were on the community forums and just always offering free advice. So, you know, before we got on, we talked about my brother who was doing a YouTube video of, you know, probably how to put salt in your salt tank or whatever for your water softener. We try to provide unbiased, free information, be helpful to the community, offer advice. We didn't pioneer it. Actually, Rosie on the house pioneered it, but we really adapted to super cooling. We found it could save customers hundreds of dollars a month, wrote blogs about it, set up thousands of customers. So we got really well known for that. And I think the community just bought into like, hey, these guys are really trying to help. They're not just here to just take our money. They're sell here to give back. Yep. So as an extension of that, end of last year, my brother said, you know, have you ever seen Amazon Smiles? And I said, yeah, you know, it gives back to charity. And he said, well, what is local? And he posed that question to me. And I said, you work close to the community? And he's like, it's not. It's people that buy into the community by supporting it. So you can be local to multiple communities, even if your building's not in that community.
That's good.
Yeah. And so we started a program called Pro Skill Cares, where we give people similar to Amazon. You sign in through a specific Amazon link.
Yep.
They donate, right? Yep. So we assign local charities that are in the neighborhoods and groups that serve the communities that we're in. And we give them that phone number and we attribute revenue from the referrals they give us back to them. And so that's what we always ask customers too on those pages is, you know, what's local to you? Is it the person who just lives next door, or is it the people that are supporting your kid's band in the local pet shelter and the charities that you want supported in your community? So but I think it's really giving away that information and just being helpful to the community, supporting what the community cares about.
You think it's important to give that expectation, right?
Absolutely.
Of course, because that's being genuine, right? Like, here's what I think. And I think this just comes to a lack of understanding how that really works. It seems weird to give and not expect something in return, because most people give hoping to get something in return. So it's actually a mindset shift you have to make. And it's something that we adopted fairly early, but it was tough for me, you know, to just expect nothing in return. If you expect nothing in return, you can't be disappointed when you don't get anything in return, you know. But I think what you'll find is you'll be surprised on how much you actually do get in return because you're giving, you know, without that expectation. So you guys have done a good job of that up there. And one thing that I think you guys also did well for the listeners is you guys get really involved in, like, the chamber groups and, you know, the networking groups and things like that, which, by the way, I hate doing them. So I don't do it. But early on, bet your ass, man, I was in there doing all that stuff.
Oh, if you're a new startup or just looking to grow with no budget, there's no better payback than getting on every Nextdoor Facebook group that's in your community and every, well, it's not, networking has changed with COVID too, but sure. They all have a, you know, digital.
It's easier. Yeah, it's freaking easier. You get to sit at your computer instead of getting your ass up at 7 a.m. going these things. I get or 6 a.m.
Absolutely.
Going.
The more you can be in front of people, getting your brand and your name in front of them, it's paramount to your success. And it's literally just your time.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Travis,
hold on. I got someplace else I want to go with that.
You go ahead. It's better than mine.
So, one thing you guys also did that I thought was really cool is that, and your brother did this because he came to my shop. And so I also own I'm going to give a shout out to my own company, T-shirt shop. It's a custom apparel store I've had for like 8 years. Well, he came to the store, but he was going to multiple locations on video and doing like promotions. And I forget what the reasoning was for it.
Black Friday.
Thank you.
Or Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday. Thank you. That's it. And it was, you know, to promote all the local businesses. And it doesn't cost him anything except his time, which I know there's valuable time, but like if you're early on, sweat equity is like the best way to go. Mm-hmm. But it also creates exposure, you know, for him. But for you guys too, but he went and did that, and that was time consuming. But I was grateful for that. Like as a small business owner up there, like I was really grateful that he did that and there was exposure for him. But in turn, that makes me think like, man, I got customers come in here, put your stuff in my store. Like I'm cool with that, you know? And so I thought that was a really good play that you could use. And especially with social media being as massive as it is right now with people being home more and being on it more, it's a perfect time to get involved with little things like that. Okay, Paul, all go right. Ahead.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for letting me participate in my own podcast. hey, back at the beginning of this conversation, Chris mentioned 3,700 Google reviews at a 5-star rating. Most of our listeners who are listening to this will think, huh, that's a lot and that's probably bullshit. However, you're not using any sort of widget, any sort of software. Like this is legit something you've baked into the process at your company. Can you explain how you've done that?
Yeah, a little plug for my buddies at ServiceTitan. I have a webinar called Building a Review-Based Culture, and I go through the process in depth. We need a whole nother podcast for it. But, I mean,
okay, note it.
the premise is that, yeah, we have buy-in from the team, from the dispatchers that answer the phone to the technician on site. We communicate through the process. You know, you can track the technician on the way to the house. Technician does a job. They do a walkthrough at the end and they say, hey, are you satisfied with everything today? Oh yeah. You know, it's great job, Chris. Thank you very much. Awesome. Just so you know, we get rewarded for great customer service. If you got time, you're going to get a survey after this. It's going to ask you to leave us a review. I'd really appreciate it. It really helps me out. Boom. Close the job right through ServiceTitan. They get an instant follow-up. You know, hey, how was your service today? If you're not happy, please let us know. We're not perfect. We screw up all the time. We have some 1-star reviews, but we don't have nearly as many lasting 1-star reviews as we've gotten because we are always proactive in fixing them. We race to see who can fix that problem the fastest in the management team. So that's part of it. We've never bought, you know, never purchased, never wrote our own reviews. And I always tell people I wouldn't because it's too easy to get reviews. All you have to do is go out and do a good job, do what you say,
and
ask for the review.
And ask.
Wow.
You know, and people don't
understand. Quotable.
Yeah. Depending on the season, you know, 350 to 700 calls come in through our Google Maps page every month. So, you know, you can't put a value on that.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? You guys have, it's not like I just mentioned Google and Facebook. I didn't mention all the reviews they have on Yelp and Better Business Bureau and Angie's List. Like, and you have it on the site, like clean, you know, clear as day is like what they all are. So you're not faking all that. Like, it can't all be fake, right? So, by the way, you just set yourself up for another episode on reviews. And I didn't know about the review thing on ServiceTitan. So we got to make sure that you share that so we can share it.
Yeah, I'm passionate about customer service. I'm passionate about people. And interestingly, I'm not a people person, but I do care about how people are treated. And I want, when my company goes out, I want to set the precedent of this is what you should expect for service. And
makes perfect sense. I mean, you are in the customer service business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's super authentic. I want to go back to partners. I'm bouncing all over the place. But you talked about taking care of your partners and being a good partner. You know, give me some examples of like things you've done with your vendors or different people you've worked with to just show them that you've appreciated them And then how does that come back to you?
Hang on.
Without expectation.
Let me tell you where this comes from, okay? So for those who don't know, Todd Paul is district manager for Lenox, and he was a territory manager for Lenox. And Paul loves to tell his story about how he got beat up by one of his first contractors. So he's very sensitive to this partnership, you know, this partnership conversation. So this is where this is coming from. Carry on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not groundbreaking. Thank you helps, you know, acknowledging their hard work. Where they
break that thank you thing down for the listeners a little bit.
Acknowledging.
Make that actionable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Acknowledging them, you know, sometimes you're in a pinch and you need help. You know, I think acknowledging that they're helping you succeed is really important. It's small things, you know, it's being kind when you go into the supply house. These people are dealing with people that are hot, frustrated all day long that are yelling at them. If you spend any amount of time in a supply house, you'll figure that out real quick. You can tell by the look on the counter guy's faces that they're not happy, you know? So I always go in and I try to change their mood, try to, for a while before they shut it down, you know, I'd call the guys that I knew that were always helping me out and say, hey, driving by Culver's or driving by the gas station, what do you want? You know? And again, do I give without expecting anything for return? Of course. I'm happy to help anybody. I'm happy to help my competitor next door. At the same time, I want to reward them when they are helping me. It's the law of reciprocation, right?
Sure.
Like they're helping me. I owe them something. And I think one of the bigger problems is that people want to say that they're solely responsible for their success and they don't give credit where credit's due for all the people that helped get them there.
That's good. Law of reciprocation. Made a note of that, so Paul. Good. I made a note of that just for you. Paul, I just want you to know, real quick, I appreciate you.
You know what, Chris? I appreciate you.
Kyle, I appreciate you too, buddy.
Who's Kyle?
Kyle.
Kyle's behind the camera?
Sorry. Guess you're just going to have to wonder who Kyle is. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit more about that for a second, because I think you mentioned that you even help your competitors, which, listen, like I have great relationships with some of my competitors. And regardless of the size of the companies, we're buddies, man. Like, and we don't all nail it all the time. And so there's plenty of times we hop, you know, they'll shoot me a text message and say, hey man, we can't figure this piece out. And I'll help them to an extent. You know, I am in a competitive industry, but there's certainly a lot of things I can do to help them and vice versa. And sometimes it's just bouncing ideas off of each other because we're all in it together. Like we're in the same game and, you know, but you have to play nice in the sandbox, right? Let's talk about that. So, you and I kind of talked about this. Why is it so important for you to play nice in the sandbox? Because let's face it, there's some of your buddies and some of your friends that do not play nice in the sandbox, and mine. But why do you think? Why is it so much more important to play nice in the sandbox?
Yeah,
don't talk shit about your peers.
Yeah, there's no reason to. No one looks at that as a positive thing. Your mm-mm. customers don't. Your team
exactly.
doesn't. Like no one likes it. Unless it's people that just thrive on drama, which aren't good team members anyhow.
I agree.
You don't want to deal with that. So, but yeah, look, again, the tide raises all ships, right? Yep. So we need each other. No one can, you know, my wife is a domestic engineer. She's a stay-at-home mom. She can't sympathize with what I go through.
Domestic engineer?
Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah. But my buddy down the street who owns an air conditioning company and deals with customer service all day, he can sympathize with me. He does know what I'm going through. And so it's almost been a little bit of a therapy session to get to know my competitors and work together. And we can say, hey, you know, did you get this job? Did you get this job? No. Or, hey, we're both going up against each other on this job. And it's been great feedback. And I'm not talking, you know, price fixing type of stuff.
Sure.
It's just like, hey, let's help each other.
Camaraderie.
You know, camaraderie. And yeah, I mean, you know, we'll go to the lake with each other and just exchange ideas. And I think that's important. There's, it's said a lot, but I don't know if people always live it. There's so much work out there.
Yep.
So much work.
Yeah.
We have a shortage of skilled tradesmen. So you're going to do just fine.
Especially here when we have how many 110 plus days this summer?
Yeah, like weeks, going on weeks and weeks.
It's fantastic, by the way.
So I think it is important. And, you know, it's made my life easier dealing, knowing that I'm not the only one. One of my favorite things is that we all go through the same things at the same time. I'll get multiple texts in one week, last week. Hey, is your service slowing down? Yeah, yeah, my server's slowing down. And just so you know, three other guys text me that too. So we're all experiencing the same thing. And there's a little bit of relief that comes with that, knowing that you're not failing. It's just, you know, hey, the system's already broke.
And it's not your marketing company's fault.
And it's not your, and yeah, your marketing company's doing a great job.
Say it out loud.
That's the opposite of what you see in these Facebook groups online. Oh, you just see like, I did $10 million today and here's a Ferrari, like all the time.
Jeez. Yeah. Wait, who's posting that?
People skew stuff to their favor for sure.
Oh yeah, man. Perception. Well, no, that's actually, that's, I mean, listen, it's been 110 plus here for weeks, degrees. Like, and guess what? Shit slows down. Like, that's a lot of days of stuff breaking. And listen, it's a blessing, trust me, especially after some of the previous years where, like, heat was, like, even last year, I think heat was a little bit more minimal. And it got here super late. But it's, you know, you got to play nice in the sandbox. And at some point in time, I believe you're going to need people, you know, those people. And nobody wants to help an asshole, you know, so right, Paul?
Are you going to put that on the wall, Chris?
Nobody wants to help an asshole. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I should put that on the wall. What do you think, Kyle? I think I should put that in your office. He's like the nicest guy ever to call.
But you are correct. I never want to help you.
Yeah, because you're an asshole. So I'm just kidding, Paul. I care about you. Okay, so listen, for the sake of time, I think we're like somewhere around like 50 minutes, 45 minutes, somewhere around there. Is that fair? Okay, cool. So last question. I love asking this question because it's, and even though I kind of gave you the heads up on it, it's important because you didn't nail it this whole way through. You still learned things along the way, just like everybody else. And everybody makes mistakes. I don't give a shit how well a machine you got today. There's human interaction, so mistakes happen, no matter how good your processes are and all this stuff. But, you know, in your journey, you've clearly done a great job. And the thing that you've nailed along the way is you're genuinely caring about customers, your customer service side of things, amongst other things. But what is one thing, if you could go back and tell young Travi, and let's see, 2014, 15-ish, right, was when you guys came up with Train, whatever. Like, what would you go back and tell young Travis to do differently on this path?
Yeah, so I'm not gonna give you one. I'm gonna give you a few.
Give me a few.
First thing I would have done is, you know, again, our growth was controlled by choice. You know, we only expanded our service area a little bit. We didn't go valley wide. We still do that, but we still had rapid growth, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And so I would have, looking back now, or if I'm going to come more from a strategy, if I started a new business today, looking back.
Totally okay, because you're giving advice to yourself based on what you know now, sure.
I would establish my procedures up front so that I didn't have to look back and try to fix things, so that everybody had the expectations going forward of what was expected from the day they were hired. I would price for where my goal was to get to. Again, is something I mentioned earlier, is that we price for where we are at. Hey, we can make money. We're working out of our garage. We don't have to market. You know, it's all, you know, networking and internet advertising that's free, Craigslist, you know. So we priced to reflect that. But as we grew, we couldn't maintain that. And so we had to keep doing these price increases, where I think it would have been a lot more stress-free to grow if we had just priced for the service we are providing, not the size we
were. Hallelujah. Yep. And what you think, the perception is like what you have to come in at to get the job.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. I would, and more in your arena, I don't have a horrible brand, but I don't have the best brand. I probably would have established a little bit different brand up front, a really strong brand. I would have invested up that at the very beginning to make sure that I was easily recognizable in the community. We get all the time, hey, we see your trucks everywhere. But, you know, again, we don't know what we didn't get, because maybe we could have made it more recognizable or more have a bigger draw to our ideal customer. And I would have started earlier investing in people, and especially technicians, young people. You know, I'm a millennial. You're just...
I'm 41.
He is not a millennial.
I'm not a millennial. Right.
Chris is.
You're
not.
Like right outside.
I am right outside. But so thanks for bringing that up, Paul. Appreciate you.
You know, millennials get a bad rap, and I have some millennials on my team that are absolutely fantastic people, fantastic, you know, teammates, And I can't say enough good things about them. And same thing with the generations below them. You know, these guys are coming out of school. They work hard. They're hungry. They buy into our processes and customer service. So I think that's what our trade really needs to do is start investing in these kids and teaching them the way they want it done. And as long as you're taking care of people to the best of your ability, that they can't go somewhere else. I mean, that's the excuse we get a lot.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to train them. They're going to go leave for a buck. Well, don't pay them a buck under what they're worth, I guess. You know, you got to have, and culture plays a role in that. Culture is a lot harder to maintain right now through COVID because we can't have the company parties. We can't have the awards meetings. But overall, I think we got to really invest in people.
Dude, that's solid. We obviously have quite a few millennials on staff here. And listen, I'm a dad to a millennial. So it's Kyle is a millennial. Kyle does our podcast production. Is like, I think that Kyle is like the unicorn of millennials, though. So he's a badass. More motivated at 19 than he's 20 now, but he was more motivated at 19 than
not a millennial.
That's right. He is not a millennial because you're right on the cusp on the opposite Zoomer? Side of me. He's a boomer.
What's that called? Zoomer?
Gen Z?
Yeah, Gen Z, I thought too. But it's like
okay, well, whatever.
Chris is a boomer.
I'm a boomer, son of a bitch. I'm a boomer. What are you laughing at, Travis?
No, you're Gen X, right?
I don't know what the hell I am. I'm just a badass. That's what I am. I'm generation badass. All right. Hey, listen, man, I appreciate all the information. Just a real quick recap. You said you know, like procedures in place, which I think that is everybody learns that. Like, but you kind of go into it with your hair on fire trying to sell stuff and then trying to you're underpricing it to get the job when you learn, like, it's not worth the time to do. I did the same shit for way too long early on in this business. I was putting in stupid hours and making pennies on the dollar. You know, and then to price for what you want, that is key. If something's easy to you, doesn't mean you should charge that way. Like if it's easy, it's because you have acquired that skill set and you need to charge accordingly for those things and you need to charge for what you want. And branding, I'm glad you brought that up. I think COVID really exposed, for a lot of companies, if you didn't have a solid brand, you might've been in deep shit. And so I think branding is key. And a lot of times Paul and I will talk about, and we have customers who have a phenomenal brand and that brand, the better the brand, the better the conversion rate, the better the lead generation, the lower the cost per lead. Like it all goes hand in hand without question. I could say that for a fact. That's how that works. So branding is key and it's never too late to do a rebrand. Do not let that scare you. If you rebrand the right way with the right company, Rhino doesn't do branding, but I know a lot about it. If you do a rebrand the right way, it's okay. You guys did a rebrand, right? You guys were plumbing. First, and then you guys went to the service, like, and it's not a huge thing. It doesn't need to be like this big, complete shift.
Right.
But it's okay to establish a really good brand because then you got in the back of your mind the what if I would have done it differently. And then investing in people clearly is what it's all about. Like, the best way you can service your customers is by investing in your people. You know, the more you care about them, the more you take care of them, the more they're going to take care of your customers. And guess what? Your customers keep coming back to you. It's a beautiful little cycle.
Absolutely.
So, man, I appreciate you coming on here, sharing all your knowledge and wisdom. If so, Michael E. Gerber, if you're listening, I'm sure he is. I did not say tips and tricks. I said knowledge and wisdom. And see, I learned too. I'm always learning. But I appreciate you guys on here, man. I love watching the business grow, you know, and maybe next time you'll let your brother in on it and we can bring him in here and then we'll bust his balls about how we didn't let him on the first time. But it was your fault, not me. Mm-hmm. I wondered why he wasn't here and now I know why because you didn't say anything. So totally okay. But I appreciate you being on here. Again, congrats on your Titan of the Year award. That's awesome and all the success. Wait, see? That's my dog.
So good, Kyle.
That's my 19 dog. Years old. That's my dog. He's 20, dude. He's 20.
He's 20.
He's 20.
Unbelievable.
So listeners, we appreciate you guys so much. Thanks again for all the reviews. We get them when they come through. We see every single one. Thank you so much. And I'm really happy that the messages I'm getting about to stop picking on Tall Paul have slowed down. I'm sure after this it might pick back up, but it is what it is. So thank you so much. Until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to The Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please consider leaving us a review in the App Store. And don't forget to share with your friends. Till next time, kick some ass.
Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.